Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, very grateful for this time that you've given to us again. Thank you for the protection you've given to so many of us driving these miles today, and for your presence, the answer to our prayers and comforting this family, the Coma family, the loss of their loved one, and for allowing us to be together. We thank you that you've been lifted up, and we just again pray that you'd help our sick. Thank you for raising up those that were, and continue to help them. And just guiding the service, glorify your name. Help us to learn the truth of your word. And pray that the saints will be edified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would open to Genesis chapter 1, once more, Genesis chapter 1, and see what colors I got here. Black. That'll work. You see in Genesis chapter 1, we're really looking at verses 6 through 8, but we have to look at verse 1 for just a second. You'll see it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Heaven and the earth. So I just want to start with that. Can't even draw a circle, but anyway. Alright. That is the earth. Very simple, okay? That's the earth. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But as we read, we find out, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." We find out, 6 through 8, you find out the entire earth is underwater. It's just that simple when you read verse 6 and God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." So what happens in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What I always overlooked was this one point. Out here is the vast expanse. Sun, moon, and stars. I believe they were created at the same time, probably from the same, you can have different opinions, but as I see it, all of this was created at that moment. The heavens and the earth, it involved this. If you don't see this, it's also called the firmament in verse 14. But that's not going to be the same firmament that you end up with at verse 6 through 8. It's not the same. God didn't set the sun and moon, the greater light and the lesser light, and the stars also. He didn't set them in the firmament that we're going to read about 6 through 8. And that's the important distinction. So when you see 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament," the margin will say great expanse. It gives you an idea. Where? In the midst of the waters. And so if I could do this, I'd simply... Just so we have it divided. We can say, okay, this is now. There was all one body of water around it. Now, you've got a body of water on the outside. So, I use that green maybe to give you the idea of a... This is now your oxygen area here. You have a band of water. Still, he didn't move all the water up, but he did divide it. He brought a band of water up to the outside, and there's still a band of water upon the entire face of the earth, which will be divided in the next day, verses 9 through 9 and 10, which Lord willing will
talk, we'll get to next week. So, verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And that's exactly what happens here. It's divided. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament here heaven. Heaven. This is, we're going to call it the first heaven. This is the one that the birds are said in verse 20 to fly upon the face of it. They're going to fly on the lower side of this firmament. I don't know how thick that would be, five to seven miles up there, or maybe 10 perhaps. But they fly, birds don't fly way up there. There's a few that go pretty high, but that's called the face of the firmament. And so that would be this oxygen area here. So God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day. I just hope that might help a little bit in trying to get some things in our minds about the firmament. There's two different places. So just dealing with the literal aspect of this tonight. Let me jump on. I've already said that a number of things. And that's simply this. Some interesting things about what you've got here is a canopy of water above. Some people say that it's a vapor. I don't believe that at all. If God had wanted a vapor up there, clouds and things, that would have been one thing. But He divided a real water, and it's an important thing that we need to understand. It was real water on the face of the earth that was divided in two. He separated real water from real water. We're not talking about clouds and things like that yet, and it's important. I'll show you some things that you may never have thought about. It's very interesting. Here, number one, there's three things, and then we'll close it. In the Scripture, there is no mention of the sun and the moon other than by the declaration of Scriptures in the creation account. The stars are mentioned, but it's called the greater light and the lesser light. It is as if they didn't see them. All they knew was that in the daytime there was greater light, and they may have seen something, but it wasn't a direct sight. See, how do you know that? Well, I'll just give you some things to think about. And the moon. At night, it didn't get totally dark, but it was called a lesser light. There was something that they saw above that wasn't quite like it was in the daytime. You'll notice it's called that. They're not called the sun and the moon. They're called the greater and lesser lights. And I think you'll find this interesting. You might want to just check into this yourself. In other words, the Scriptures don't mention man viewing the terrestrial bodies, those things. The Scriptures don't actually mention man viewing the terrestrial bodies until Genesis 15, verse 12. Just turn there for a second. Genesis 15, verse 12 is the very first mention of the greater light by name. That's important, by name. Genesis, and it has to do with the covenant time where the Lord was going to put, Abraham was going to go to sleep there, and the Lord was going to walk between the sacrifices that Abraham laid out. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 12 says, and when the sun, first mentioned in the Scriptures, there it is, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. That's the first mention. Then in Genesis 37:8, it has to do with the dream that Joseph has. In Genesis 37:8, you have the very first mention of the moon. That it is mentioned, obviously, they had seen it. I'm not saying that at Genesis 37, 8, this is the first time that they saw it. But what you've got to, there are some things that add up to say that they probably didn't see it before such and such a time. In Genesis 37, 8, they use reference by name, not just a lesser light, but the moon by name. Well, here, in 37, 8, and his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed," when Joseph was relating his dream to his family, it offended them, "Shalt you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed the dream more. And behold," here, "the sun and the moon," first mention of the moon, "and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." First mentioned there. And then you'll have Genesis 15:5, where it actually, in where we just were, and it'll talk about the stars. But we do know that the stars are mentioned in chapter 1. It says this about that. Chapter 1 says, "He made the stars also." It's simply a statement. And I want to follow this up just a little bit more. All of these accounts, where it's given that they saw them, you know that they saw them, was after the flood. After the flood. They didn't see these things before the flood. Now, just file that back there a minute. I know it might be interesting. It might be hard to believe. But the first mention of a cloud, the first mention of a cloud is not until Genesis 9:13. And that was after the flood. So, you remember, it says in Genesis chapter, I think it was 2, here's all that it says. Genesis 2 verse 9 says, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden." Oh, and it talks about the rivers going out. I jumped just a little bit too far. Verse 6. "There went up a mist," M-I-S-T, "from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." There wasn't rain. There wasn't rain before the flood. There weren't clouds before the flood. They didn't see the terrestrial bodies before the flood. We have evidence of their first usages in the Bible. And now in Genesis 9:13, this is the first mention of a cloud. And it had to do with the rainbow. This is the first mention of the cloud. Genesis 9:13. He says, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it should be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." This was all brand new. When that flood was done, and Noah and the eight souls, Noah, one of them, when they stepped off the ark, they saw a new world. It wasn't like that before the flood. It was different. Great changes began to take place after the flood. Longevity was cut way down, like a tenth the lifespan. These guys were living 900 years plus. Now, you're going to... I tracked history, the history of men. You may have done that too if you've ever thought about it. You need to sit down and do a graph. It's not that hard. And then see how quickly the lifespan reduced to 70 years. Just boom, it just moved right down. Gravitated to what we are right now. That's it. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with the rays of the sun coming down on the earth. Harmful rays changes a great number of things, not only the longevity, but the size. The size of the animals, I believe that's changed drastically. The size of the vegetation changes drastically, and there are things about that. When we see a fern today, it's my understanding these things were humongous. There's fossils and things like that just give evidence of that. There's I don't remember what kind of animal it was. It was a warthog or something. It's about that big right now. They say they used to be the size of a hippopotamus. These things, animals were bigger. Things were going on. And the rays of the sun, all brought about some changes. It does affect us. Just kind of consider it. Think about it. But finally, this last point, that was just Genesis. If you considered the book of Job, you need to do this when you do. Historically, the person of Job precedes Abraham. Now, we saw the first mention of a son, and it had to do with Abraham. Job was before him. You say, well, how do you know? Job was before there was any priestly things going on. Job was his own priest. He offered for his family. It was before God had appointed a priesthood. Job was before that. We know that. So, but he was after the flood. So he's the earliest record, if you will, of these things that we have historically. The oldest biblical record. He talks about Leviathan. David actually does too. But Job talks about what we would call a brontosaurus, this huge animal who, with his tail, which wasn't a hippo, we know that, we laugh about that. This tail of this creature could take down mass trees. He could drink up a river. This is the kind of beast. He lived after the flood. And, you know, what about the ark and all that? So we'll talk about that when we get to it. But just historically, this person, Job, preceded Abraham, but his time was subsequent. It was after the universal flood of water, the judgment of waters in Noah's day. Job's account mentions the sun four times, the moon twice, and the stars five times. Very interesting. But still, that was only after the flood. So, just going to move on and finish this. And if you got comments, that's fine. We'll ask you for that in just a minute. There's no doubt in my mind that the waters that were above were more than just a vapor. I don't like reading a number of things, a lot of works that, you know, it's like they've got to reduce it to something that you can just understand. When God created the heavens and the earth was a muddy mess. And it was gurgling and bubbling. And yeah, there was darkness upon the face of the deep because it was all mixed up. I don't have that impression because when God divided it, it was water up there and it was water down here. I'll give you something to think about. It was not a vapor. It doesn't say it was a vapor. He said it was water. That's not vapor. He said it was water. He didn't say it was a cloud. He didn't say it was a mist. It was water. Water. Take the scriptures literally as much as you can, and even when there's hard things to be understood. But it was above in the atmosphere. A number of commentaries will talk about it being a vapor. And reliable. You'd be surprised who says it was a vapor. The waters on the earth were in liquid form, and it was divided in our Genesis account. You have liquid water divided into liquid water. I'm emphasizing it on purpose. You had liquid water below. You had liquid water above. Just to give you a quote from a professor, it's about seven words. He says this: the words translated waters may mean fluid. Took a professor to give you that, but that's what I'm trying to tell you too. I just got a kick out of it. They may mean fluid. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that I agree with it, brother. Brethren, it does mean fluid. All right. The waters above were not vaporous, and I'm saying this on purpose. And you'll see, if we move away from the truth, something else pays as a consequence. We may not think so, but there's something on down the road that doesn't line up right, and I'm just going to use a simple thing to prove a point. The waters above were not vaporous. The scripture states that at the Noahic flood, the windows of heaven were open. We know that. You're familiar with it. This statement is construed to mean by some that at that flood that it was just a great rainstorm. Yeah, well, it may have rained, but it was more than that. It was different. And I might mention it later. I think I did. But the landmass available in Adam's day before the flood was greater than what we have now. Okay, after the flood, the windows of heaven were opened. We have less land available now. The land then was greater and could have sustained a great many number of people than now. And certain changes like that are going to come, I think, when Christ comes. I think we'll have more land available again for certain reasons. So just give you that. It wasn't a rainstorm. The windows of heaven were open, and He poured out that water that was here back to the earth. Now, they will go into their basins where the oceans and the seas are, obviously, but they're going to be fuller than they were before. If it's not literal, if the windows of heaven did not pour out the waters that were above, if that's not literal, we've got some other problems with other scriptures. For instance, there's another such reference in Scripture. You guys, when you have your Bible, online Bibles, you can do a search. Type in windows of heaven and doors of heaven and see what you come up with. And here's why it's important to take this literally. There's another such reference to the windows of heaven concerning food. Specifically, God's supply of food for His people. Go to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. You'll remember it when you see it, if you don't already. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. They were in a siege. I really can't remember if it was the Syrians or what, who was against the nation of Israel. But they were in dire straits. They were pent up, couldn't get out or in. But in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2, let's just look at verse 1 here. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel." Food's going to be readily available again. "Then, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said this, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it,'" Elisha's responding, "'with your eyes, but shalt not eat thereof.'" Verse 16, it says, "And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord." You're dealing with, when the windows of heaven were open here, you're dealing with God's plentiful supply of food. Was it vaporous or was it real? You see my point? Was it real food or was it vaporous food? Is it real water or is it literal or vaporous water? You see my point? A simple little thing. But I have to tell you, if it's vaporous here, then this food really wasn't. It really wasn't. That's the point. And there's another one. Maybe it's laughable, but I think it's serious. I wouldn't move from this point. I won't do it. Again, you'll see in Psalm 78:23, there's a reference to the doors of heaven. Psalm 78:23. I think it's important. Verse 22, for instance, Psalm 78, verse 22, "Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven," He's talking about, "and rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven." We're talking about real food, not some figment of imagination. It's either it's literal or it's not. And again, in Malachi 3:10, the windows of heaven are mentioned concerning God's pouring out His superabundant blessings. Well, are they just abstract things, or do we really receive blessings from the Lord? That's what you have to ask yourself. Is it just the power of positive thinking, or does God really do something in our lives? He does. When we talk about it's a blessing from the Lord, we're talking about some specific things. Specifics. It's not just a figment of my imagination, and I won't move to that. I'm going to stand on the literal water. The text in Genesis means literally what it says. It was liquid water, the same form that it was on earth, but now divided, suspended in the outermost atmosphere on the near side of the great expanse. Verse 20. Of the great expanse of heaven. On the nether side of the near firmament. It'd be just on this side. Is that so hard to believe? It really isn't. You believe the truth. The Scriptures teach it. You would believe it. Listen, just so think about that. Men can calculate and build a rocket that will send a satellite into space. That same firmament, that space, they're going to send it out here. Not out here, but they'll send it where it's out here. They'll send a satellite up about 150 miles in the air. And there, that satellite will remain suspended for a very long time. Why can't God suspend a canopy of water in the same area of atmosphere for the first 1,656 years? Because that's when the flood takes place. And then when He's ready, because He knows that He will judge the earth, it's not just going to occur. There's a reason this water's up here. It's a purpose of God. It's going to be poured back on the earth, but at the right moment. It will be poured in judgment. He will empty it out at that time. The Bible states what God did concisely, and therefore, I believe it. I believe you do too. The windows of heaven were open. So, at this point, we have a globe of matter that could be, I'm just going to say it's a globe of matter, with an expanse of air. Now, this is our atmosphere. We call this atmosphere. This is the usable part of our oxygen. With a canopy of water above that. And that's really what I see. It's really, I don't know if you've thought about it, but you might check and look at those first time uses of the sun and the moon. And you don't have to say it was a vapor so that it makes any sense to our minds. It was there. I don't see any problem with it being suspended there. God put it there, and it's going to be used at the time He appoints, and for the very reason that He wants to use it for. Any questions, comments, anyone? Yes, sir.
The word vapor